You are now listening to the CRC podcast, brought to you by Pastor Act Bossif. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
I want to continue tonight to talk about how your faith is released. And I want to talk about justification and righteousness tonight. Your position before the throne of grace. Because if you don't understand your position, you will doubt your rights. You know, as a child of God, you have certain rights and privileges. As children of God, we are not controlled by fear. The Bible is very clear. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That means tonight that you have access into the throne room of grace, okay? No longer restricted access. I know it's 3 weeks in a row, but this is one of the greatest revelations, full picture please, that you can ever have. That you can come no matter where you are, no matter how dark your valley, no matter what prison, no matter how low you may feel, no matter what sin you committed, no matter what mistake you made, no matter what happened yesterday, you are welcome in the presence of Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, you have unrestricted, unreserved access into the presence of the Holy God. And let me tell you tonight that although God has not changed, God is still holy, God is still just, and God is still righteous. Because of Jesus Christ, we can enter the presence of a holy God. Hallelujah. So Romans 5 verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, peace does not talk about tranquility. It means we don't have to be afraid of God. We can freely access the presence of God. It says, through whom we have access by faith into His grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So listen to me tonight. Everything is going to turn out for the glory of God. Everything in your life is going to turn out for the glory of God. This trial will turn out for the glory of God. Your future will be for the glory of God. Come on. Your tribulation will turn out for the glory of God. Come on. If you believe that tonight, jump on your feet and give Jesus a mighty 30-second praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we glory, we rejoice in hope. So what the Bible says, we count it all joy when we go through various trials, tests, and tribulations. Not only that, we also glory in tribulation. We don't collapse, we don't fall out, we don't give up, we don't quit. We may not know what the future holds, but we know the one who holds the future. We don't doubt God's will in the middle of the valley. We don't make our bed in the valley. We keep on walking. Amen. I said we keep on walking. If it feels like you're going through hell, keep on walking in Jesus' name. Don't camp in your valley of discouragement. Don't camp in your valley of loneliness. Don't camp in your valley of despair or the valley of disease. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the morning, rejoice in the evening. Count it all joy, James chapter 1 says, when you encounter various trials, tests, and tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, complete, mature, lacking nothing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me on the other side of this valley, will follow me through this valley, will sustain me. Under His shadow I will abide. Under His wings, Psalm 91. Let's not get our eyes off the Word in the midst of trial and tribulation. Let's keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's keep on petitioning God. Let's keep on standing boldly before the throne of grace, because help is on the way. I said help is on the way. No matter how bad your tribulation tonight, God is not about to abandon you. He's not about to abandon planet Earth. God is not sitting in the heaven and having a council with Michael and Gabriel and says, oh my word, I don't know what we're going to do. No. What he did 2,000 years ago still stands. The cross stands. Redemption stands. Grace stands. You are complete because of grace. You have a future and a hope because of what Jesus did. You hail from God. You are born from above. The greater one lives on the inside of you. Come on. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So let's not doubt our position in the midst of a crisis and question the will of God and question, listen, the character of God. Because God is good. God is goodness personified. God is mercy. This is a new covenant, and this covenant is a covenant of mercy, not judgment, but one of mercy. So when we go through this as a world, we don't question God. We discern the hour through the scripture, and we understand it is the spirit of the Antichrist that wants to not only disrupt the world, but disrupt the kingdom of God. But we should not be disrupted. We should not become unsettled and doubt the will and the future that God has for us. That's why the Bible says we rejoice, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. We get stronger. Perseverance, character. We get better, not bitter. And character, hope. Hallelujah. That we have a future and a hope. Like Abram, the Bible says, who against hope in hope believed. So when there was no hope, he had hope. So when it seems like there is no tomorrow, believe in a great tomorrow because God promised. Bible says hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who he has given to us. So tonight I want to say it again. We have access into the throne room of grace. As God's children, we have certain rights and certain privileges. Hebrews 4 verse 14 and 16. Now that we know that we have Jesus, say it tonight, say I have Jesus, hallelujah. This great high priest with ready access to God. Because of Jesus, I have ready access to God. I'll say it again and again and again until you get it, because you have to hear it again and again and again and again, because this is where your help comes from. This is where your future is, in the presence of God. God gave you the Holy Spirit. God the Father is seated on the throne of mercy. Jesus Christ, your advocate, is seated at his right hand. And Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to be what? Not your judge, not your jury, but he sent the Holy Ghost to do what? To be your helper, to be your comforter, to be your guide, to be your teacher, to lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he says, because of Jesus Christ, we have access. We've seen two things now. We have access into grace, and we have access to the throne of grace. The law came through Moses, John chapter 1 says, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So we're no longer justified by the law. We're no longer justified by our works. We are justified by what Jesus Christ did for us 2,000 years ago. And our faith is not in our works. Our faith is in a finished work, the cross of Jesus Christ, the price that has been paid. And now you and I have access into complete redemption, which means God not only purchased you back, but God reinstated your privileges, the privileges Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. That which Satan took away from Adam, Jesus brought back to the earth. And yes, we're still in a state of recovery and in a place of working through our salvation, which is a journey. But we receive what God has already given us by faith in his grace. And that's why we have hope. Because the Bible says hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That means I don't doubt God's love. I don't question God's intention toward me. I don't question God's will. I may feel that God has abandoned me, but he has not. Because he promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He promised, I'll be with you to the end of time. In the scripture, Hebrews 13 verse 5, we see, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, so I will not fear. What can man do unto me? I don't care what the television says, what the scientists say, what anybody says. God is. God is in control. God is your tomorrow. He's your Alpha and he's your Omega. God is your stability. God is the one who will lead you and guide you. God is the one who will cover you with His feathers. God is the one who will surround you with His favor as with a shield. Come on, don't take your eyes off Jesus during this pandemic. You keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and you stand in your secure position before the throne of God, as I've said, and you say to God, Lord, here I am again. My name is Anna, Father. I know that You already redeemed me. I know, Father, I have access. So I come asking, I come praying. I pray for our government. I pray for godliness. I pray for prosperity. I pray for peace. I pray for a future. I pray for healing in the name of Jesus. And as we pray, God is dispatching angels, working behind the scenes, those who we cannot see. More are those that are for us than those that are against us. We have to open our eyes in the realm of the Spirit and begin to see that God is orchestrating our salvation. He's orchestrating our deliverance, because we are standing petitioning not a deaf God, not a dead God, but a loving God, a Father, a merciful Father, a gracious Father, a Father who says, my eyes are upon the righteous, my ears are open to their prayers. A loving Father who is orchestrating our future, who will lead and guide us into what He has planned for us, who has made a statement 2,000 years ago through the sacrifice of His Son, what His will is towards humanity. At His birth, the angels announced peace on earth, goodwill toward all mankind. Not a time to doubt Him. Not a time to become unsure of who God is. Malachi 3, verse 6, the Bible says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not about to change because we're in a pandemic. We are the ones who change. We doubt the love of God. We doubt the future because maybe we're listening to too many other voices. And maybe because we want to build our lives on experiences. And sometimes those experiences are real and they can shape our future if we allow them to. Tragedy, turmoil, pain, hurt, rejection, abandonment, betrayal. These things can shape us. And we can lose ourselves from where God wants us to be. And that's a place of justification, righteousness, understanding who we are in Christ. And then through that, knowing that no matter what comes our way, no matter the level of the tribulation, the trial, the persecution, we can have joy. Come on, because joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Weeping endures for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. Oh, come on, if you believe it tonight, jump up in your lounge and give Him a sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. It's deafening in this place. Listen, I think we could see the angels in this place. I had a vision once and I saw angels rejoicing and I heard them rejoicing. So I know I'm not getting flaky here now, but I promise if you could open and see the realm of the Spirit, this place would be full of angels and surrounded by angels worshiping God as we worship God. Amen. So they're keeping your place till you come back. Amen. So he says, we don't have a priest who's out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experiencing it all but sin. So let's walk right up to Him like a child. When I walked in here tonight, my grandson came running to me. I mean, even before I came, he, I don't want to say what he calls me, but and definitely not Opa, Bibi, okay? But he calls me on my name. Like I say, Lord Jesus. I'm not Lord Jesus. Don't go away with that now, please. But he says, Bibi Atta. So he calls me on my name and he comes running. Comes running. So the Bible says we have access. So we should be running to the throne of grace. When we make a mistake, we should be running to the throne of grace. We should be running to church in Jesus' name. We shouldn't be running away from the church. We should be running to our prayer closet because we have access. Hallelujah. Oh, that's one of the greatest revelations you can ever have. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus. If any man sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You never run from God. You run to God. He says we have ready access. So let's walk right up to Him and get what He's ready to give. Not judgment. What is he ready to give? Help. The New King James Version, the Bible says that we come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, which is God's willingness and God's ability to treat you better than you deserve and find help in a time of need. This is a time of need where we have to storm the throne of grace with our prayers, where we have to come boldly, where we have to knock and keep on knocking and not knock one another on social media. What a disgrace when people who call themselves Christians attack other Christians on social media. That's a disgrace of all disgraces. You will not see Muslims do that. You will not see any other religion do it. The only people who attack one another are those who call themselves Christians, which makes your Christianity questionable. So as God's children, we have unrestricted access. As God's children, we have the right, the freedom, and the boldness to walk into the very throne room of grace. I mean, that's amazing. That's mind-boggling that you and I on planet Earth can walk right into the presence of God through Jesus Christ because of what Jesus did. If I come and I say, Father, I come in Jesus' name, I have the Father's attention. Think about this. I know you've heard this, but you have to hear it again. Because how are you doing in approaching the throne of grace? Because in the Old Testament, the high priest could only go there once a year. Then there was a Moses that pitched a tabernacle. And when he went to the tabernacle, God came down. There was an Abraham that was the friend of God. There was an Enoch that walked with God. So throughout the Old Testament, we see God's desire is to walk with you and me in a personal relationship. That's what Jesus came to bring. That's why he reveals God, Yahweh, the Holy God, as Father. Not my Father, our Father. No matter what your background, your culture, your status quo, no matter your bank balance, no matter anything, he's our Father. And we should stop the sibling rivalry and understand that he's our Father, and everybody that is washed by the blood of Jesus Christ is our brother. And the Bible says, if you hate your brother, you do not know God. When you know God, you love. Because this is how the world will know we are his disciples, by the love we have one for another. This love that is shed abroad in our hearts, that brings us to the throne of grace. So when we have this love in us, our hearts toward people will be what? Merciful, gracious, loving and kind. More than ever, our world needs a church that loves one another, whether we pray in tongues or not, whether you believe in big baptism or infant baptism, it matters not. Whether you just sing hymns or whether you sing hers, it matters not. What matters is that you are born again. What matters is that you are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. What matters is that you're a son, a daughter of God. And if you are, we are all on the same side, and we are called to worship the King of Heaven, and we are called to demonstrate the love to this world in this most difficult time, not to lose ourselves and become a picture of the world. You don't even see political leaders attack the church. That's the most amazing thing. So we have access into the throne room of grace by faith. In Romans 5, verse 2, the Bible says, through whom we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. So where do we stand tonight? Huh? Hello up there. We stand in the grace of God. Now grace is complete. Grace infers it has been done. It's not something God has to do. That's why when you read the Bible, you have to look at the words. When God talks about redemption, it's past tense. When God talks about salvation, it's past tense. When God talks about justification, it's past tense. When God talks about your sanctification, it's past tense. When God talks about your future, it's past tense. Remember when he spoke to Abram, he said, no longer shall your name be Abram, but Abraham, for a father of many nations I have made you. So when God says something, it is settled in God's mind. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, the Bible says, thanks be unto the God and Father who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Galatians 3 verse 13 and 14, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through faith, and that we may receive the promise of the Spirit. So when we talk about redemption and we talk about what Jesus did for us, it's past tense. We're not trying to get God to do anything. We have to access what God has already done. And your access point is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Jesus. We don't come to the Father through the Scripture. We come to the Father through a person. We come to the Father understanding the Logos and the Rhema. Because the Pharisees knew the Scriptures, but they did not know the Savior, so they had no access to the Father. So people study the Scripture and they miss the Savior, and they become legalistic and hard and judgmental because they don't know the Savior. Because when you know the Savior, you become an imitation of the Savior, which is what? Goodness and mercy personified. You don't look the other way when people hurt. You feed the poor. You take care of the orphan, the widow. And again, I want to thank all the CRC members that have been so outstanding in this during this pandemic. You've enabled us to give over 60,000 food parcels. One food parcel feeds a family of four for 2 weeks. They cost between 500 and 800 rand. And we thank you for all your contributions. Not only that, we helped finish the project in Umtata. Took them 15 years, and your generosity helped us open a house for those people in Umtata. We helped over 1,300 mothers that never had anything for babies, and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. We give 100 and something thousand meals every month to people who have no food, etc. Let's talk about that on social media. Thank you. So when Jesus lives in you, people matter. When religion lives in you, you criticize. You don't care about people. I mean, the Pharisees of the day never cared about the hurt. They just tried to attack. Our world does not need mean-spirited people right now. Our world needs good Samaritans. Our world needs loving people. Our world needs Christians that will stand together. By this all men will know you are my disciples, by the love you have one for another. But until you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, not got your little degree, until you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will never ever understand the love that God has for people in Jesus' name. So everything we receive from God is by grace through faith. Listen, the two work together. Grace, what God did. Faith, your trust aligns, dependence on what Jesus already did. So you are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 10. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So grace is what Jesus did. Faith is accessing what Jesus did. You're never going to receive anything without faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we're not in a faith camp. We're not in a grace camp. We believe that everything operates by grace through faith. Everything. Everything we receive from God is by grace through faith. They work together. They intertwine throughout Scripture. So we receive this salvation, which is all-inclusive, by grace through faith. It's God's grace that has made all things available to us. We access this by faith. By faith, I receive everything that grace made available. Not trying to obtain the victory, we have it. Jesus already obtained the victory. He paid the price for my complete, total, full redemption 2,000 years ago. For my salvation, my healing, spirit, soul, body. For my provision, my victory, deliverance. Faith is to take possession of what God already has done for us. It's not getting God to do anything. It's accepting and accessing what God has already done. Past tense, 2,000 years ago. So Jesus already obtained eternal redemption for all of us. Hebrews chapter 9, 11 and 12. But Christ came as a high priest of good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of his own creation. Or this creation, not with the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the holy place, or most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, go read Hebrews 7, 8, 9, 10 to get an understanding of this, that in the Old Testament, without blood, you could not go in the Holy of Holies. Now, sacrifice doesn't get you there. Slaughtering of a cow, a bull, doesn't get you into God's presence. Paying penance doesn't get you in the presence of God. The Bible says there remains no more sacrifice. The price has been paid. The price for what? The price for your justification. Justification, just as if I'd never sinned. I stand before the throne of grace justified. So when God looks at me, he looks at me justified, not sinner. Amen. So if I understand my justification, I will have freedom and boldness to come, no matter what. Because I'm justified. When God sees me, he sees, listen, the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because when the high priest came once a year with the blood of bulls and goats, there was a remembrance of sin. Because the blood of bulls and goats could only cover sin, it could not make atonement. The blood of Jesus doesn't cover sin, it remits sin. Meaning it removes sin. It removes the memory of sin. It clears your conscience from the hold and the effects of sin. That's why you can never live as a Christian without being born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on. If you know you are saved tonight, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're a son or a daughter of God, you have a reason to rejoice right where you are. Shout hallelujah. Give him a praise in Jesus' name. So we are justified by grace and grace alone. You cannot, and this is where people miss it, because so many people that just study theology are totally confused because they do not interpret the Old Testament through the New Testament. The New Covenant was hidden in the Old Testament. So Jesus comes to fulfill the law. He's the fulfillment of the law. The Bible says the law was your tutor, your teacher, to restrain you from sin and to teach you what sin is, but your tutor that brought you to what? Your new tutor, which is now what? Grace through the person of Jesus Christ. So you can't teach law and grace. A lot of Old Testament scriptures are not applicable in Christ. Listen to me very clearly. Those of you that just want to throw Old Testament scriptures around, you have to take everything through the cross. You have to take every Old Testament scripture and interpret it through the cross into the New Testament. If it's changed, it is redundant. You stand in a new covenant. Amen? Go read the Bible. Read the Bible. Hebrews 7, 8, 9, 10. Go read it. See what Jesus did. I have to close. Now, listen. Romans 5, the Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. The righteousness in right standing with God is revealed apart from the law. Having witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Believe what? That Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. I mean, you can't say somebody is a false prophet. The Bible says a false prophet says that Jesus did not come in the flesh. So everybody that confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, even if they do not agree with your doctrine, you can't go around and say that person is false. Careful. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We were born in sin. Amen. But we are justified freely. How? By grace. Through the redemption, the buying back that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, that is a go-between, by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, not ours, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, listen, that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. So what justifies me is not the law. What justifies me is not my knowledge. What justifies me is not my doctrine. What justifies me are not my ancestors. What justifies me is Jesus Christ, the just advocate. He's the justifier of those who believe in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So if you are, if you have called on the name of Jesus, you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you have been justified by the blood of Jesus through the grace of God, through your faith, through your profession of Jesus Christ, and that means you have access to God, direct access. You don't come through a prophet. You don't come through a culture. You don't come through your works. You don't come through your sacrifice. You don't come through any other avenue. There is one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is one name that is the door into eternal life. His name is Jesus Christ, and He is the one who justified you. He's the one who declared you righteous. He's the one who gave you direct access to the Heavenly Father. You may sit in a prison tonight, you have access to God. You may sit in a place of failure, you have access to God. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come on, right where you are tonight, say Jesus. Just say that, say Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. So when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm forgiven. Or I receive the forgiveness that He already gave. God is not busy reconciling the world to Himself. He has already reconciled the world to Himself. Go read your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We accept that reconciliation with God. We accept that peace through faith in what Jesus did tonight. Maybe you're sitting there tonight, you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe tonight, if you died, you don't know where you will go. You don't have peace with God. When the Bible talks about this peace, we have peace with God. It's, I don't feel guilty. I don't feel ashamed. I don't feel God is against me. I went to church. I grew up religiously in one of the denominations in South Africa. I had no relationship with God. Not criticizing the denomination. We were taught the scripture, but we were never brought to the person. And tonight you're sitting there, maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. I want you right now to pray this prayer with me. Everybody, all over social media, there in Pakistan, whoever you are, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, it's as easy as that. You have to do nothing but accept what Jesus did for you. Say it tonight. Say it. Put your hand on your heart and say this tonight. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you paid the price for all my sin. I confess that you rose from the grave and you are alive. Tonight, I receive justification and forgiveness of all my sin. Thank you for peace with God in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Thank you for being with us tonight. Come on. Give them a big hand clap. Everybody on this place, let's give them a big, big shout out. A big hand clap in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.